This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Liberation Day. Let's talk about the tariffs. Let's talk about the FBI. We are going to talk to some politicians about all this stuff. Carol Roth, more importantly, is going to give us her economic thoughts. All that, and Jim Banks is hilarious on I'm Right. Okay, we have a gigantic I'm Right for you here. So let's knock out a couple news of the day items. Today is, according to the Trump administration, Liberation Day. This is the day the tariffs that Donald Trump loves so much go into effect. We've already seen countries cave, kind of cave. You know, the Vietnam long ago said, hey, we won't do it. Canada's indicating they want to change. Mexico's indicating they want to change. Look, what's going to come from this? I don't know. Because there are all kinds of things that are true. Good things and bad things about where we're going and about what we're doing that are true. It's true that the United States of America and the developed world, we really have the lowest charges, we'll just call them charges, on other countries. We have the lowest. Everyone puts higher ones on us than we put on them. So when people say we're getting ripped off, we're getting ripped off. I mean, that's a legitimate thing. That's true. What else is true? What's true is the world, the global economic system, it hates the same thing you hate, same thing I hate. Change. If I get an update on my phone and a button moves, I'm annoyed. Well, the world economic system hates change too. You can't change this. What's going to come? I don't know. I don't know how the negotiations will go. I don't know which nations will, succumb, agree to lower their charges, which nations will simply up their charges, and then we have a trade war. I don't know. I don't know what in your life will get more expensive, what in your life will get less expensive. I don't know how quickly American jobs, American manufacturing will return. I don't know what's going to happen to your 401k. I don't know. And I've got a clue for you here. No matter what anybody tells you, they don't know either. Because it's not a simple situation. It's a complicated situation. I think it would be naive to think that there's not going to be some sort of a rocky period. How long? How bad? I don't know. But it's Liberation Day, and now we are going to find out. And again, as we've talked about many times before, this is not unprecedented what Donald Trump is doing. Whether you love tariffs, hate tariffs, the tariff way of thinking is a very, very old school GOP way of thinking. There's an old Teddy Roosevelt cartoon. I think it was in the New York Times. Don't quote me on that. It was in a newspaper back in the early 1900s of two boxers, and one of them's free trade guy, and the other one is protectionism, and the protectionism guy's knocking out the free trade guy. This is an old, old debate. It's happened many, many times before. We shall see where we go from here. Now, the other news of the day item was from yesterday, only we couldn't talk about it last night because we didn't have the friggin' results in. We had elections yesterday, really three big national elections yesterday. Now, what happened? We had Mike Waltz's congressional seat in Florida, a red seat. It was up for grabs. Matt Gaetz's congressional seat in Florida, a red seat. It was up for grabs. We retained both of those seats. It's good. Hey, when something's good, let's call it good. Wasn't that good? These elections were closer than they should have been. One was 11 points, should have been 30 points, right? So they were closer than they should have been. And that brings us to Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, voter ID passed. It's a very good thing. The Supreme Court race, We were told it was neck and neck. It was not even close. We got massacred. We lost a critical seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And what that means for you, if you're not in Wisconsin, is that could very well cost us the Donald Trump majority. So what's the story here? Well, there's a couple stories here. And I'm going to say something to you that I learned a long time ago. I've said it to you before, but I'm going to say it again and again and again. We human beings love simple. I'm the exact same way. I'm the same way you are. If there's a problem, tell me the solution. Make it simple. We want to simplify everything. We want to boil everything down to one thing. Give me one thing to digest, one thing to tackle, one thing to think about. I'm the same way. We're all this way, okay? But when it comes to politics, each and every single race tells its own tale. Of course, we can sit back and we can watch national trends. In fact, we'll talk about a national trend here in a moment, so we can talk about that. But each and every race tells its own tale. Good candidates, bad candidates, money, who raised it, who didn't, who spent it, how was the ground game, what were their extenuating circumstances, a natural disaster, a mass shooting, did the stock market take a dump? There are so many different things that go into each and every race, and we want them simplified. But look, to get blown out that badly in a swing state Donald Trump won, we didn't show up. The good guys did not show up. The bad guys did. And why? Again, well, that's not simple. And I'll get to yelling about us in a moment. But there's something understandable about the losing side, the side that currently doesn't feel like they hold power. They're going to be more motivated than the side that feels like they hold power. You've seen these rabid animals on the left. They've been freaking wiping poop on Teslas across the country. These people are screaming in the streets. The left is rabid. They're very scared right now about the changes that are taking place. And it's going to be easier to motivate the mentally ill demon communists to get to the polls than it is the normal human being. But let's talk about you, me, normal human beings. We won this wonderful election in November. It's great. Donald Trump won. We have the House. We have the Senate. Woohoo! Everybody's celebrating. And for people who have lives, like you, the communists don't have lives. This is their whole religion. For people who have lives, we want to be able to take a breath every now and then. Take a break, I guess I should say. We want to be able to, whew, all right, Trump won. Can I just watch the game now? March Madness is on. But we can't. And that's what sucks. That's what sucks about having to have this talk. I have to have this talk with myself. We can't. These people, the people who think like this, they don't take breaks.
Every law passed before the 1965 Voting Rights Act should be presumptively unconstitutional. Right? But because before the 1965 Voting Rights Act, we were functionally an apartheid country. Yeah. Not everybody who lived here could vote here. So why should I give about some law that some old white man passed in the 1920s?
You can point and say he's crazy, he's evil, he's wrong. Okay, yeah, I agree with you on all those things. But the people who think like that, and more importantly, the people who are influenced by people who think like that, they don't turn on March Madness. They don't go to church on Sunday. They don't check out choir practice for their kids. They don't even have kids. They have cats. And when there's an election, whether it's Donald Trump on the ballot or not, they will crawl naked across the mile of broken glass to go vote in that election. We have to be as committed to protecting this country, to stopping evil, as evil is to destroying it. And time after time after time, we see that when Donald Trump's name is not on the ballot, the American people, I'm not talking about you, you're the hyper-informed, the American people don't get off the couch and vote. And we can't win like that. If I were to give you a choice, you could have the presidency for the next 50 years of this country, or you could have every single state legislature for the next 50 years in this country, what would you choose? I'll tell you one thing. It's not even close. You can hand on the presidency. We would want the state legislatures. That would be way more important. But most people don't think in that way. There is a human inclination towards the guy at the top, the king, the one leading things. That is what motivates us. It's what gets us to the polls. The Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, oh, whatever, the game's on. We've got to change that way of thinking. And look, this brings me to the FBI. Big story came out yesterday, but none of it's shocking to you because you watch I'm Right here. The story, what it essentially did was confirm what we already knew, that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the federal law enforcement arm in this country, they knew the Hunter Biden laptop was real. It had been turned into them. They knew it was real. They knew it was legitimate. And we now have the messages, courtesy of the House and the FBI. We now know they buried it, issued a gag order. Elvis Chan, Special Agent Elvis Chan. You remember this Elvis Chan? I believe everything that comes out of the DOJ, FBI, everywhere, I believe all of it is a lie. I think I'm being lied to at all times. And if you would like to earn back my trust so I believe you ever again about anything, you will arrest that human being. You will put him through a public trial for violating the civil rights of Americans, for violating, abusing his post at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And as soon as the cell door closes on Elvis Chan, as he begins his 30-year prison sentence in Fort Leavenworth, then you will start to earn back a little bit of my trust. Elvis Chan's still there. In fact, Elvis Chan's been promoted. We now know Elvis Chan got the gag order and said, all right, let's put a lid on all this. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, it can't be saved. I'm sorry, it cannot be saved. And this is not on Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. It's really not. I know there's frustration building. I'm frustrated too. Why aren't we seeing arrests? Why is Elvis Chan not in chains? Why not? But here's the God's honest truth. Once a secret state police agency of 35,000 people turns this evil, it cannot be saved or preserved. And in fact, I'll go this far, there is nothing more important in this country than stopping it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because no matter what else is going on in the world, and I realize Russia, Ukraine, Iran, even the border, no matter what else is going on in the world, there is one thing that absolutely positively guarantees the end of the United States of America. That is an evil secret state police agency that works exclusively on behalf of Democrats. If we have that, we cannot have a country. We cannot have freedom. In fact, the FBI will cause a civil war in this country if it is not brought to heel. That is a fact. It's an uncomfortable fact. And so I'll finish all this because we have too much to get to tonight. I'll finish all this with this little point here. You getting involved locally, fortifying your state locally, is as important now as it was when Joe Biden was sending the FBI to arrest pastors for being pro-life. Because the future of this country might get really, really, really rocky as the evil secret state police agency cements itself into power in this country. We have less than 4 years. Not a single FBI agent is in chains. And at this point in time, I'm not positive anyone ever will be. Go vote in your local election. Your local election may not seem that important now. It may be everything in the future. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an incredible show for you. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about Liberation Day in a moment. Before we talk to Carol Roth, let me talk to you about getting a good night's sleep tonight. We talk to you about Beam Dream Powder. I love to sleep. I slept so good last night. You know what I did? About 9 o'clock, I was reading. It was a history book. I know I'm a huge nerd. I was reading. Just thinking, man, I'm not tired. I really want to go to bed, though. I think I'll go get myself a little cup of hot chocolate. And as I sat there reading my book like an old man, had a cup of hot chocolate that was dream powder, you see. It had things like reishi and magnesium and all kinds of natural things in it. Sipped on it and then just kind of felt sleepy. Not knocked out, sleepy. Went, laid down, slept like a baby about 9 hours. Woke up this morning feeling just fine. Want to feel like that? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Okay, so Liberation Day, as we talked about in the opening, obviously that's what the Trump administration is calling it. But Carol, just like I did with you in the opening, Carol is going to give us a more direct point of view on this whole thing. What actually is happening? What should be happening? None of this ridiculous politicking stuff. Joining me now, Carol Roth, author of many wonderful books, including You Will Own Nothing. Okay, Carol, I understand the Trump administration is branding with this whole liberation thing. Trump is really good at that. I get it. I get the game. You get the game. Neither of us are spring chickens, although I'm much older than you, I think. What are they talking about? What is Liberation Day?
I mean, I think the answer to that is that nobody really knows, Jesse, and that is part of the problem. Just like in relationships where communication is key to understanding and moving forward and having a happy life together, we're having a little bit of problem with the communication from this administration, because there hasn't been, until today, a sit down with the public talking about, what is the purpose and the point here. But the bigger issue is when you talk about Liberation Day, or you talk about, making America wealthy again, or any of these talking points, is they're often in conflict with each other. So we're hearing that, the American economy is going to be liberated from other countries and we're going to be wealthy. But then we're also hearing that it's about parity and making things even. And wouldn't it be great if everybody else dropped their tariffs and then we didn't have to worry about it? So it can't be both of those things. We're not going to get wealthy off of tariffs if everybody drops them. And I think that's part of the frustration here. I think the other frustration, in addition to sort of this communication and conflicts, is another C word, which is choreography, which is something that we've been talking about. Because there was so much optimism coming into this administration. We had a fabulous, first couple of weeks. Everybody's heads was spinning with all this great news. And I think from an economic standpoint, the liberation that Americans wanted was liberation from inflation and from the bad policies of the Biden administration. They wanted deregulation. They wanted some permanency and certainty around the tax cuts. And those were the kinds of things that were meant to help spur growth, increase consumer sentiment, help with investment and hiring and all of those things. And by going into tariffs as sort of the key part of the economic policy first, instead of settling those other things, I think it was an unforced error on the part of the Trump administration.
Okay, so let's actually focus on that, the uncertainty part of it, because Carol, honestly, I should probably check my Twitter feed as we have a discussion here, because every 5 minutes things are changing. They honestly may have changed in the 3 minutes since we started talking, where we have this tariff coming down, but they're backing off. We have this tariff, but now we're backing off. We have a tariff, but we're backing off. We have a tariff, but we're backing off. I'm 43 years old. I'm gonna injure my neck if I keep looking back and forth at this point in time. What is the goal?
So a lot of people will tell you that this is art of the deal and that really we're just getting, completely screwed over. And I just have to laugh at that notion. We have a $29 trillion economy. We are not getting screwed over by the socialists and commies that have $2 trillion in their economy. It's just not happening. So this idea that, we need to really focus on this now really makes no sense. The idea that, these other countries do it, so it's a good idea. Again, we do not import our economic ideas from socialist and communist countries. It is bad that these are extra taxes on their people, and it's why their economies are suffering. And yes, we can do better in our economy, but the way we do better in our economy is not by creating barriers and less freedom here. It's really by deregulation. It's by better better tax policy, and it's making it easier for people to do business. And as you mentioned, with the craning your neck, if you are a small business owner in particular, but also larger businesses and companies that are public, you cannot plan, you cannot make investments, you cannot hire, or at least you do not have the will to, if you don't know what's going on and things are changing from seconds to second. So we need to unleash growth in this country. And the first place you're going to do that is by getting some certainty and getting those that deregulation incentives in place instead of disincentives, and making the tax policy permanent and favorable. And then, you know, if we need to get surgical about tariffs, because there are areas where it may make sense, in areas that, you know, affect our national defense, certainly is an area that impact things like upcoming technology. But I'm really sick of this, like, let's look back to the 1800s. We're in 2025, Jesse. Everything has shifted. The path forward here is very different than the path that existed in the 1800s. And that's what we should be focused on and talking about. And people cannot do this if this is moving around. There is no art of the deal if Americans cannot have some certainty around making investments, about hiring decisions, and about, you know, feeling good about the economy.
Okay, so let's attempt to switch gears while talking about the same subject. That doesn't make any sense. But how do we get the manufacturing back, Carol? Because that is a critically important thing. It's not a small thing that the Rust Belt is now the Rust Belt. It's not a small thing that we can't make things here, that China can build ships and we cannot. That's a really, really, really big deal. How do we get it back?
So I think that we have to kind of part and parcel this. And yes, we can agree that when Bill Clinton walked China into the World Trade Organization, that was a horrible thing for the middle and working class and a bad thing for our country. And Jesse, we're just not going to get some of that back. Some of the things, the small batch and small run manufacturing, things that require a lot of handwork, things that you have a lot of regulation around it, we're just as a country not going to get there. And we have to realize that, you know, whether it's China or Vietnam or India or Mexico or somebody else is going to make those things. The question that you're asking, I think, is the legitimate one. And this is why we need to be surgical when it comes to tariffs. Things like building ships, things like building ammunition, things like other critical supply chain items, that is a focus. And there should be incentives in order to get that done. Remove the barriers, remove the regulations, remove some of the ridiculous lawsuits that may be preventing this happening. But at the end of the day, we have some constraints in the terms of energy cost. I know that the Trump administration would like to get those down, but at some price, we cannot produce energy anymore and we will not have any. So there's a constraint there. Maybe they can create some tax incentives to get that down a little bit, but it's not going to take it all the way down. And we also have people who want to make sure that Americans who are working get fair wages and good wages. And so when you have a high cost of energy and you have a high cost of regulation and you have a high cost of labor capital, that is only going to work in certain industries. So we should be laser focused on those areas and come up with the strategies, the incentives, the programs to make those front and center. And everything else should go by the wayside. We do not need to be focused on, for example, one of my clients in the collectible toy industry, they're just not going to hand make dolls and fashion figures here the way that they did, you know, maybe 100 years ago. So we need to be surgical about this. And I think that would make it much more understandable to everyone. Okay, we're going to focus on these sectors that make, are important for our national defense and important for our economy. And then everything else, we're going to move forward, understanding that the future is in technology and defense, and you forget about everything else.
I actually knew a guy once who collected those little handmade toys. He was a very strange person. He had a lot of gerbils. Anyway, Carol, these companies are announcing that they're investing. We see every day, and I like that, but this chip manufacturer, they're investing here. Apple's going to invest here. They're investing here. Now, these are good political headlines, and I want people investing here, but what's the reality of this?
So the idea that a very large publicly traded company makes a decision between, you know, one day and the next because of some sort of political pressure is absolutely ridiculous. If they were planning to do something, they've been planning to do it for a long time, and they're leaning in to that news cycle in order to get a pat on the back from it. But, you know, anybody who believes that, you know, these big companies have all of a sudden changed their investment policy because of a push, I think I've got a bridge or apparently a gerbil or something to sell you. So I think that is pretty much not the case. You know, there are areas where you know, the administration can create incentives, and that can bring more investment to the United States. And there are, you know, business and practical reasons, but it goes back to that, you know, big plan that we were talking about, which is, you know, appropriate regulations, you know, available labor at a reasonable rate, great tax policy. And that's why if we start there, it's the logical place to unleash the growth that we've been talking about. And by the way, we all want the Trump administration to accomplish this. We're not saying this because we're trying to be mean to the administration. It's because we want the administration to succeed. And right now, in terms of business sentiment, in terms of consumer sentiment, and concern in terms of where we are going, we are not going in the right direction with any of those. And we want this country to succeed.
Finally, inflation, because a lot of this really comes down to inflation. I mean, we talk about these things and tariffs and regulations and shipping and things like that, but that doesn't necessarily affect most people, or at least they don't realize it does. What does is the cost of groceries, the cost of a home improvement. When I walk into Lowe's, I want to be able to afford things. Are we going to get any inflation relief anytime soon?
So what really impacts inflation over the long term, you know, is the monetary supply and ultimately the purchasing power of your dollar over long periods of time. Tariffs may have sort of a short-term impact, but the longer-term impact really depends, in my opinion, on the fact that we're running wartime-level deficits. And unless we can get those down, we're going to continue to be in a situation where we're going to have to make choices, and either the sacrifice is going to be the bond market, which would be really bad for everybody, the global financial markets, or it's going to have some other release valve. And it all really comes down to the end of the day, when you look at the different paths, the likelihood that there is going to be policy that needs to be enacted, and that is going to be inflationary. I mean, think about Trump putting pressure right now on the Federal Reserve to lower their rates. Well, the reason is because the interest that we are paying on our national debt at this point exceeds the cost of our defense spending. You cannot have a successful country when you're paying more in interest than you are for the defense of your nation. And so we have a ton of debt that needs to be refinanced. We have, you know, multiple trillion-dollar new deficits, new debt that needs to be financed, and we have interest rates that are, you know, near levels that we haven't seen in 15 years. It's not the highest that we've seen, but they're still at very elevated levels. And we don't have central banks around the world who want to be purchasers of our debt anymore. They've started to sell our debt and replace that with gold in their reserves. So something needs to happen here. Somebody's going to have to step in and be a buyer of debt. And I think that that's going to be, at some point, the Fed. It's going to approximate that quantitative easing that we saw. It may have a different name. It may be yield curve control, or it may be some special, you know, pretty program wrapped in a bow. But at some point, they are going to have no choice in order to get that interest cost down. They're going to have to bring rates down, and everything has a lever. If you push on this one, something else changes, and the other side of the lever in all of the palatable choices is inflation. So you may get a reprieve, and we've seen, you know, a little bit of a reprieve before it started picking back up again. But over the long term, that is the political choice I think they're most likely to make.
Right. No. Yep. We'll buy our own debt. Then you don't have any. It's brilliant. Carol, yes. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Okay. I just need a minute to process things. we're not going to get any inflation relief. I warned you about this a long time ago. Because Washington's addicted to spending. You see these bills Congress passes. This is why you need to switch to Pure Talk. We'll set aside all the patriotism reasons to switch to Pure Talk. Honestly, just set all that stuff aside. Let's ignore the fact that they hire Americans, that ignore all that. Let's just make it about money if we have to be soulless capitalists for a minute. It's cheaper. I had T-Mobile. I had four lines. Me, the two boys, four lines. My bill, clean in half. That's the symbol I made. It's a scissors, by the way. Clean in half. That's what happened to my bill when I switched to Pure Talk. Average family saves $1,000 a year. I can't lower your inflation. I can save you some money on your cell phone. And it's easy. Remember, you can keep the phone you have if you want, or they have new phones. You keep your phone number. This is not some major thing. It's easy. They make it easy. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay, so let's talk some more tariffs with somebody who knows a little bit about how Washington works, how the economy works, how bad we're getting hosed on trade. A little bit of a different perspective from the great senator from the state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Okay, Senator, everybody has an opinion today, and obviously the proof is going to be in the pudding on how all these things work out, but tariffs, why do we need them?
What we need to do is have a level playing field, and that is why you have heard President Trump talk about reciprocal tariffs. And it is so important that we make certain that we are going to advantage, as in America first, our U.S. companies and U.S. consumers and U.S. workers. So this is about protecting domestic manufacturing and innovation and intellectual property and making certain that companies reshore these jobs. And what you will see is plans to have reciprocal tariffs. If somebody's tariffing us, then we will tariff them. Hopefully, we can make certain that it is a fair and level playing field for U.S. companies. And in this, we would be able to grow more jobs and also to increase our domestic manufacturing.
Senator, I'm glad you brought up, well, several things, but I'm glad you brought up intellectual property, especially as it pertains to China. This is one of those nerdy, wonky economic issues most people don't think about or care about, but China is just the worst freaking thief on the global scale of stealing people's intellectual property.
You're right about that. And we have Tennessee companies that have developed great concepts. They went to China maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago to manufacture, and then all of a sudden, they're getting a flyer in their mail where China has ripped off their intellectual property and they're producing that widget or grommet or fastener or component part at a price half of what the U.S. company has been paying them to produce it for. And all of a sudden, their intellectual property has been stolen, and they have an infringement lawsuit, an intellectual property lawsuit on their hands in order to recoup what is rightfully theirs. This is why so many people are saying, I want to get my supply chain out of China. And of course, that is a goal of the president, to reshore or friendshore this production so we can protect U.S. innovators.
Senator, how concerned are you with getting in a trade war with China? Obviously, Canada and Mexico will set that aside. They're here, they're gone, they're here, they're gone. We have a lot more leverage when it comes to them, but China does have an economy roughly the size of ours, and we do buy a lot of things from them. How's this going to play out?
What you will see is sanctions that are going to be put on China in some areas, and also the tariffs, what they're putting on us, we will put on them. I think this will allow some supply chains that are growing up in other areas, maybe Vietnam or maybe South America, Central America, it will allow expansion in those supply chains as the supply chain out of China shrinks.
The Panama Canal is something that Trump got super hot on. Well, he's been hot on it for a while, but he got super hot on it during the campaign. And it's something a lot of people just didn't pay attention to. I mean, who even knows about the Panama Canal, at least normal Americans? But China has been really, really clinching down control of that thing for a long time, haven't they?
Yes, indeed they have. If you look at the ports at either end of the canal, then you have China participation there and Chinese-owned companies, which is owned in part by the Chinese Communist Party. When you have that, then you're running off of their technology systems. And we know that they embed spyware in all of their technology, like their broadband and their web utilizations and their Huawei, which is their equipment that they're using. So they've embedded this spyware. So then they get into your system, they capture your data and information. And basically what they do is build a replica or a virtual you of your transactional life.
Can you speak a little bit more about that intellectual property as it pertains to our military? Because there's so many concerns about that. Our ports in Florida, there have been concerns about Chinese surveillance because they put this stuff and stuff we buy from them that they're watching us. It's a national security concern, is it not?
Oh, of course, it's a national security concern. That is why we have banned Huawei and ZTE from being used by our military. It's also why we have banned TikTok from being on government phones, because all of these are embedded with spyware. And many people think of TikTok as just a fun little a way to watch videos of pets and cats and people doing funny things. But for China, this is spyware. And as I said, they're collecting all sorts of data on you, your utilization. They move, the spyware moves into other apps that are on your phone, and it snoops through those apps and it collects the data on you. And then it's not a matter of you owning data that is on your phone. Someone else has replicated that, the virtual you that I mentioned. And then they're able to track you, to follow you, to send push notifications and emails, because they know what you do when. They know when you pay your bills. They know when you go out to eat. They know the type of food that you like to eat, the music that you like to listen to, how you shop, and the type of things that you are shopping for.
It creeps me out that China knows that I just had Waffle House the other day. Senator, I have to ask about the Epstein files, because this is something you've been hot on for a while, and to your credit, you've not let it go. We had a little, I guess I'll call it phase one rollout. What's up with phase two?
Phase two, the FBI and Department of Justice have received a truckload of information. As they gave us what they said was their phase one, their first group, there were just a few new items that were in that, Jesse, but it gave us some clues to other things. And then we, DOJ and the FBI received the requested information from the Southern District of New York that had much of the information that had been held for the trial. And they are combing through that now and are doing the proper redactions to protect the victims. And we look forward to at some point soon that being made public.
Senator, one final thing about the the judges. It's driving people crazy. I show up to work and my emails, I'm sure, look very similar to your emails. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. Now, that sounds great. Works really well on social media. Someone do something, but that's not actually doing something. what can be done? We're not going to impeach him. We're not going to get two-thirds of the Senate. I'm not naive.
Right.
What can we do?
And what we are doing is we held a hearing today so that we're elevating the issue and getting things on the record. Senator Grassley has a bill that would clarify that a district judge has jurisdiction over, number one, the case in front of him, and number two, the district in which he is seated. But that number three, he has absolutely no authority in which to issue a nationwide injunction. And Jesse, he has neither constitutional nor statutory authority to issue that injunction. So we have that legislation we are going to work through. It should be bipartisan. We know that President Trump had 15 nationwide injunctions filed against him in February alone. Through 4 years of Joe Biden, he had a total of 14 that were filed against him. So we are continuing to elevate this issue. We do have our legislation. There is a similar bill in the House, a companion bill. And we also know that it is going to be up to Chief Justice Roberts to weigh in on this situation at some point soon.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. I love feeling good, full of energy. Don't you love that? Isn't it a good feeling when you're late in the day? Maybe it's time to make dinner. Maybe you've got an hour left at work, and instead of just dying, sitting there staring at the clock, you feel good, ready to go. Start Chalk. Start some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. The hardcore anti-communist sit Chalk will have you feeling like that all the time. I get emails from people in their 60s and 70s telling me, Jesse, I don't even want to nap anymore. That's how good I feel. No matter your age, whether you're 20 or 90, start a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Get a subscription. Try some Chalk lit powder if you don't want to try anything else. Just pour it in a smoothie, glass of milk in the morning, feeling good all the time. You want to save a bunch of money? How about saving 17.76%? How cool is that? Chalk.com/JesseTV is how you save. Go. Lighten the mood next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And I love the new harder edge on the GOP, because for the longest time, the GOP convinced itself, our politicians convinced themselves that, you know, whenever they're screamed at, they have to be really, really polite and whatnot. But this new harder edge, and I guess Trump deserves a lot of credit for this, this new harder edge, I love it. It was great seeing Jim Banks, Senator Jim Banks, great guy. He's getting accosted by some nutball former government employee. He's dunked on him.
These are USAID workers.
Hi, I was a worker at HHS. I was fired illegally on February 14th. There are many people who are not getting social service programs, especially people with disabilities. Are you going to do anything to stop what's happening?
You probably deserve it.
Okay,
sir, you shouldn't have said that.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.